So the story of Job is about a lot of things. It's about a man who, when faced with adversity, had plenty of questions. And it all points to the answer, which is Jesus. And the story of Job isn't tidy. It's the sound a life makes when it breaks, and it's the quiet that follows when God draws near. So Job was an ash heap. In Job 2, verse 8, it says, "Then Job took a piece of broken pottery to scrape himself while he sat among the ashes." See, Job's world collapses in a day. He tears his robe. He sits in dust. He scrapes his aching skin with a shard from something that used to be whole. And he has questions that don't fit on a greeting card, and friends who try to fix him with formulas. And he doesn't pretend. He doesn't curse. He talks to God, even when God feels far away. He says in Job 1, verse 21, "Naked I come, naked shall I return. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." So some of us have walked in here today with our own ash heap, an empty chair at the table, a diagnosis that lingers, a marriage that's threadbare, a quiet sin that whispers we're disqualified. But hear this clearly. The honesty of all of that belongs to God. Why? Why is that? It's because He tells His people to pour out your hearts before Him in Psalm 62, verse 8. Because at the end of the book of Job, God says, "Job has spoken of me what is right." Because Jesus Himself lamented. He did in Gethsemane, and with the words of Psalm 22 that Trent just read. See, biblical worship makes room for the truth of our sorrow and the truth of our sin and the presence of God. See, Job aches for someone. He doesn't just ask for a theory. He aches for a person. In Job 9, verse 32 and 33, he says, "He is not a man as I am. If only there were an arbiter between us who might lay his hand on us both. Even now my witness is in heaven, my advocate." Job 16, verses 19 and 21. And he says, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth." See, Job imagines a hand on God and a hand on him. He's reaching for a mediator that he cannot yet name. Christ and His cross is the answer to Job's longing. See, Jesus comes not as a lecturer on suffering, but as the man of sorrows. He is the true innocent sufferer. He is betrayed, abandoned, mocked, stripped, and scourged. He is nailed up between earth and sky. And that's the very space Job said he needed someone to stand. See, on the cross, he cries, my God, why have you forsaken me? He steps into the felt distance so that he can close it for us. Scripture says, in 1 Peter verses 3, verse 18, that Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, it says, there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, Isaiah 53, verse 4. And he always lives to intercede, Hebrews 7:25. See, at the cross, Jesus does what Job longed for. With one hand, he holds the Father, and with the other hand, he takes hold of us. He doesn't come halfway. He came all the way into our ashes. So consider the exchange, this exchange. Job tore his robes. Jesus' robes were gambled away. Job's friends failed him. And Jesus' disciples fled. Job scraped his skin with a shard. Jesus' skin was torn with a whip. Job begged for a witness in heaven. And Jesus' blood speaks a better word, one of mercy. Then he said, it is finished. Not started, finished. That distance is closed. The door is open and the veil is torn. Why does all this matter for the table, for the bread and the cup that we're about to partake? See, the table isn't for people who have solved suffering. It's for people who need a Savior. At the table, we remember and proclaim His death until He comes. And it's here that honesty serves worship. It's not venting for its own sake, not cynicism, but it's truth that's set before the cross. We do that so Christ can meet us in it. So let me say very plainly to the sufferer, your pain is not ignored. The man of sorrows meets you. He carried griefs like yours. And to the sinner, your guilt is not the final word here. The righteous one stood in your place. And to the weary, you do not hold yourself together to come. You come empty to receive. There's two kinds of hurt that walk with us to the table. First is the pain we did not choose. The second is the sin we did. And Jesus addresses both of those. The sorrows He carries and the sins He atones for. See, Jesus came all the way into our ashes. And there are four movements that we can make when we come to the table. We do it not to earn a seat, but to approach it with honesty. We remember. We remember, and we let His story be louder than the week. He's betrayed, He was beaten, and He was crucified, and He is risen. And we're honest. We name what is broken, what is wrong. And we don't curate ourselves for God, because He already knows. And we can turn. We turn to Him. So where you've wandered, you come back. And where you've hidden, you step into the light. Because in the light is where shame withers away. And we receive. It's not an award of receiving for the strong. It's bread for the hungry, and it's a cup for the thirsty. That's what we're partaking in. That's the gift. If it helps, you can picture it this way. When you partake of the bread and you put it in your hand, it's God's grace that you're partaking of. And when you partake of the fruit of the vine and you place it to your lips, it's God's mercy shown through Jesus' blood that's spoken over your past. So I think if Job could be here with us today, I think he would say, what I sensed in shadow, you now see in the light. The Redeemer lives. He stood at the last and He will stand again. See, the book of Job doesn't end with explanations. It ends with presence. And so does the gospel. God with us, God for us, and God not ever letting go. So Jesus came all the way into our ashes. And there's no ash heap that can keep you from this grace. So in a moment, we'll partake of the bread and the cup. And as we do, we'll proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. So the call is to come honest, come hopeful, and come because He first came to you.